Hey everyone, I'm Jason V, and this is Local Color. Buying furniture is big business. Companies like IKEA and Pottery Barn are household names when it comes to sofas and end tables, but what if you're looking for something that no one else has? With her partner Nasira Latif, my guest Raina Smallwood runs Cedar & Cotton, a vintage furniture restoration business. They want to provide the public with expertly curated furnishings without the expertly curated price. This is part one of a two-part episode. Part two is my interview with Nasira. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks. Cool. Yeah.
You doing anything this weekend?
No. Well, yes, actually. We got some projects that we're finishing up. For Cedar & Cotton.
Okay. We'll get to that in a minute. But just to start off, where are you from?
Baltimore. Born and raised. I lived out in the county mostly. I grew up like in Woodlawn area.
Oh, so okay.
I lived on a dead-end street surrounded by woods.
Where'd you go to school?
Woodlawn High School.
What about then, like middle school and elementary school?
Woodlawn, middle.
Just all Woodlawn?
Yeah, and then Powhatan Elementary School.
Okay, so what was your childhood like?
It was nice. It was quiet. We lived on a dead-end street, so we played in the woods a lot, and we rode our bikes a lot. And it was chill. I was a cheerleader in high school, and...
So there were other girls that were jealous of you. They were just like, Raina, how she get to be on the team but not me?
No, I was so quiet. I don't even think people knew me, but like, no, people really knew me. Like, they saw me.
Right. So. But like, if they ever, like, they see you in school and then like they, when they see you out at the football game on the cheerleading team, they're like, wait, don't I know her? Like, she's that girl?
What? She's that girl.
I can't believe it. And it's crazy how... like how you act in school or something like that is completely different than how you act when you're in, you know, let's say like you're on the team or cheerleading team or football team or something like that. And they're like, wow, she's like, I've never seen her like this before. She actually seems like a really, really cool person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I have three brothers and three sisters.
Where do you sit?
My sister is the youngest, and then it's me. And then I have two more sisters, and then my three older brothers.
And what's like, so you said you're the second youngest?
I'm the second youngest.
So youngest to oldest, what's the age spread?
My sister is 25. Mm-hmm. I'm 32. Mm-hmm. And my sister is like 36 and then 39. And then my next brother is 40, then 41, and then... my oldest brother, I think, is like 45.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do they live in Baltimore as well?
Yes. Well, my second oldest brother lives in Virginia. He's a career Navy guy, him and
really?
His wife. Yeah.
Oh, the that's pretty cool. Him and, did they meet in the Navy?
They did, in Germany.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. How did he like his experience, or well, if he's still in the Navy, does he enjoy it? I'm assuming if he's been in it for the career, he likes it.
I think they both had really good experiences. She's retired, actually, because, you know, career. Mm-hmm. And she's doing nursing now. Okay. She's going back to school for nursing. And he is like the chief petty officer for the helicopters. And
oh, really?
Yeah, he's cool. Wow. I think he's like my hero.
So he tells people to do things.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's and they in can't charge. Say no.
No, they can't, but I can.
That's how it works when you're a sibling. Like, it doesn't matter how much power your sibling has. You can see, like, no, I'm not doing that. No, or like when you go to visit your parents, like your mom will tell you to do something, and then like you go to the other siblings, like mom said you got to clean this, and they're like, no, she didn't. Like, no, she did.
She said it. Yeah,
she really did. So, what about your parents? Do your parents live in Baltimore as well?
Yes.
Are they still in Woodlawn?
No, my mom, she lives close to like Cold Spring and York Road.
Oh, really?
Area, so
not too far from here.
Yeah, so I actually was gonna stop by and see her before I came here, but she was ducking me out or something.
She was like, "Rain is at the door.
Ignore.
Like, I'm really sick. I can't." So, what about school or anything? After high school, did you go to college, or what did you do after that?
After high school, I kind of set off on my own, and so like I've, you know, had my own apartments and, you know, with roommates, but up until like now.
Mm-hmm.
So at 18, 1 week after that, I was out.
Oh, you're just out on your own?
Yeah.
Okay. What got you interested in furniture and design? I've looked on Cedar and Cotton's website, so I kind of have an idea about it. And I want to ask you, I want you to tell me in your own words what you guys do. But before we get to that, how did you get interested in furniture and design?
So my mom and my aunt are really big into design. They put a lot of thought into their rooms. And so even as a kid, I would just rearrange my room just for the sake of doing it. Because that's just how it was. Like my mom would, every so often, she would change the wallpaper, or we would get all new furniture, or she would hit up the thrift stores and find like little knickknacks and things like that. And my aunt was the same way. And she, to this day, she still makes little wreaths mm-hmm. and stuff, and she sells them. And they're really, really nice. My mom, when we lived out in Woodlawn, we had this big industrial fan that we had in the winter and the summertime. And it would suck the butterflies in. So instead of like letting the butterflies go, or where you can't once you touch their wings,
yeah.
she would put them in her little displays like, oh, look, I have real butterflies. I was like, Mom, really?
That's pretty creative.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's where you think that it all started. Do you watch those kind of shows like Extreme Makeover Home Edition and stuff like that? Or you're not really into it like that?
I was really, like, years ago, HGTV used to be really, really good, and they would have, like, actual design shows on there. It would be, like, color theory and small spaces and things like that, and now it seems to be geared more towards, like, we're gonna redo this house on a budget kind of thing.
Right.
Like, demolition kind of things, or flipping a house.
Right, or building, like, a palace for someone's dog.
Yeah, you know, things like that, you know? Can't really relate to that.
Gotcha. What inspired you to take the entrepreneurial leap and start with Cedar and Cotton? Because I remember when we were talking at Dovecote's final inspection celebration, you do like property management or something like that, right?
Yes. By day, I do commercial property management.
And by night?
And by night,
you do Cedar and Cotton.
I do Cedar and Cotton.
Okay, so what kind of property management? Is it business or residential or mixed use?
It's commercial buildings, office commercial buildings downstairs, downtown. Mm-hmm. And then there's like one in Towson, one in Timonium.
Getting back to Cedar and Cotton, when and where were you in your life when you decided to pursue that dream? Like what inspired you to start Cedar and Cotton?
It's funny.
Well, I'm sorry. First, now that we're there, tell me what Cedar and Cotton is.
We refinish, we restore, we reupholster, we bring life back into furniture, and then we make it available for everyone. We noticed that a lot of people, the style of furniture that we sell a lot, it's when you look online, it's like so expensive. Like it's just overpriced in our opinion. So we try to make stuff that's affordable for everyone because we think that everyone should have nice pieces in their home.
Everybody should have a fly-ass living room.
Heck yeah, man.
Now, when did you start with Cedar and Cotton?
We had our 1 year anniversary in January. So it was really just Nasir and I. We've been friends for 10 years now, easy. And we've always just kind of sat around and sat on the Gmail chat and talked about interiors, and we would send each other links. And I think it was after like the death of Eric Garner, and we're sitting around and we're like, well, you know, what's next? Like, what do we do? Like, what can we do? Like, what's next for us?
Right.
And then she was like, well, we should start a furniture store. And I was like, we should start a furniture store. And so we started a furniture store.
How did you meet your co-founder, Nasira? You said you guys been friends for 10 years. Was it like through school or what?
Through mutual friends we met, and then we just kind of hung out, and we would go to our house and grill every weekend, and it was great.
Does she have a design background?
I think it's like her thing, like her meeting her and walking into her house. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. Like, she's always had a great eye for style and design.
Now that we've established what Cedar and Cotton does, now with the death of Eric Garner, had you been thinking about starting a furniture store before that happened, or how can you connect his death to wanting to start your own business?
It's always something that I've thought about and I've played around with. But you know how you sit around and you start asking questions like, you know, what can I do? Like, how can I help? How can I build the community? Like, what, you know, what can I do?
Right.
You know, so I think it started with that. And, you know, one of the things we're like, well, we need like more businesses. We need to build the community. Like, we need to start locally and build outwardly, you know. And I think from there, like, the wheels just kept turning.
Mm-hmm. And you and Nasira were able to find something that you guys were good at and provide that service to the community.
Exactly.
Now, does Cedar and Cotton have a storefront, or are you guys all online?
We're all online.
Okay.
Right now, we're looking to do some consignment with Not You Vintage. We're going to have some pieces in his store. And then I think in April or the spring, we're going to do like a pop-up shop. And then hopefully by the summer, we'll have a storefront.
Okay, where is Not You Vintage? Is that in Baltimore?
It's in Baltimore, Towson. It's on York Road.
Where, like, how close is it to the traffic circle?
It is like 2 minutes from the traffic circle. You know, like, where the little diner is?
Is it
where the veterinary?
Yeah.
It's like right there. Oh, okay. It's right next to the diner.
How did you hook up with Not You Vintage?
I saw him on Instagram and I started following him because I was like, oh, his clothes are dope, man. This is cool. So I went to one of the Sunsets events.
Yeah.
And we were like standing around talking and I was like, wait a minute. Did I follow you on Instagram? You're the Not You Vintage guy. And he was like, oh, who are you? I was like, Cedar and Cotton. He was like, you're Cedar and Cotton. So, you know, from there, we just kind of started talking. And he's like, well, why don't you guys put some stuff in the shop? You know, so we're thinking about like an armoire and a dresser and a couple pieces to go with what he has there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What style does Cedar and Cotton go for? And I'm sorry if that's not really the correct way to frame the question. The best way I can think of it is, you know how with design and space management, I'm sure my sister, if she hears this, she'll correct me because she knows about interior design as well. But like, you know how there's minimalist design?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what style does Cedar and Cotton do, or is it just anything and everything?
We, a lot of our furniture is mid-century modern style. Part of that is because it's timeless.
Okay.
You know, a lot of that furniture was created in the 1960s. In 2016, it still looks brand new. Like, people are recreating that style of furniture right now. So it's timeless. It's sturdy. It was made with, you know, real wood. It goes with any other style. You know, it can go with rustic. It can go with shabby chic. You can throw a sofa in there.
Shabby chic. Is that like a real actual style?
That's a real style.
What is it? What constitutes shabby chic?
It's like if you think like cottagey, so like a little cottage, and it's like.
Like a futon with a patchwork quilt?
Oh, no. It's like.
You're just like, no, whoa, where did you get that from?
You went the wrong way, now go back. It's like cute, like little knickknacks, like romantic, lighter pastel kind of colors.
I'm sorry that I can't picture it in my mind, but that's not your fault, it's mine.
Okay, I'm about to Google it now.
So shabby chic, rustic, can you name a couple more styles, design styles?
The minimalistic that you mentioned, they kind of go hand in hand. perfect. That's another style that we kind of like. Less is more.
Yes.
Huge.
Yeah, I've noticed that as I've moved out and been on my own. Space management it's very real.
Mm-hmm.
It's very real. And then, like, once you start, you're just like, what can I do now? What else can I get rid of to give me more space? Do you ever strive to provide something that people can get attached to?
We feel like when you buy furniture, it should have two purposes. One, you should love it. And two, it should be functional.
Right.
So, you know, we need a sofa to sit on, to entertain, to watch TV, just to relax. But, like, you shouldn't have to just go out and kind of settle for a sofa. We want to provide pieces that people love. Like, you know, they're like, oh, my gosh, like, I cannot sleep if I don't have that piece of furniture. So.
Do you have any stories behind some of the pieces that you have? Like a story like how you came into it or a client that you wanted to work with that had an interesting story about a piece. Do you have anything like that?
Well, it's funny, as we were reupholstering this sofa that we're working on now, as we were taking off all of the old material and taking the sofa apart, we started to look through the cracks and we found, like, so there were some eye drops in there. We're like, okay. And then there was like an eyeglass lens on another part of it. And we were like, right. And there was like a business card. We're like, so it was in a eyeglass shop. So then we were like, oh, well, let's look it up and see if it's still there and see, like, you know, where it came from or the history behind it. And it wasn't still there. It was the place in Federal Hill, actually, where the Ace Hardware is now.
Right.
So I guess a long time ago, there was an eyeglass.
Interesting. So how does that work? Do people bring stuff in and they're like, hey, can you reupholster this or refinish this? Or do you seek stuff out?
Both.
Okay.
With the sofa, we were contacted. Well, we kind of were talking about it. And I was like, let us try to do it. Like, we can totally do that. Like, whatever. We got it. Like,
right.
Let us, you know. Sometimes we go out and we find pieces randomly from a lot of different ways. We even have family that calls us up like, hey, we got a table, do you want it? And we're like, well,
let's see,
let's look at it first.
Right. I think that's interesting when if people bring you stuff or you find stuff, it's like each piece of furniture has its own story to tell. Like with the sofa, it came from an eyeglass. It was it like an optometrist or something?
Yeah,
I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own story to tell. Have you ever found anything like drugs or something like that?
No, not yet. And we've gone to like various estate sales, which you can find anything in an estate sale, like anything.
Yeah.
So we haven't found anything yet.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, like anything's possible.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit, but can you explain more which items you picked to work with? Because I'm sure people have come to you and have people come to you and you've turned them away for any reason?
We haven't yet. I think that most people that gravitate towards us, we have our style in common. So we haven't, you know, had anyone where we're like, no, we just can't do that. You know? So, I mean, then we're here to help. So we try to find a way. I mean, we haven't yet, but I feel like if we did meet someone like that, we would maybe try to find a way.
We talked about this before, you getting the inspiration to start Cedar and Cotton, provide something to the community. Now that you're following your dream, as a Black woman and a creative, what does that really mean to you to go out and get what you want out of life?
It's incredible. It's, you know, growing up, I know my parents and probably a lot of parents from our generation, they, you know, mostly instilled in us to go to high school, you go to college, and then you go and find a job. It doesn't even have to be a job that you like, but a job where there's a big job market, you know.
A job where your parents are like, so when are you moving out?
Exactly. You know, that kind. Computers were really big. Everybody wants you to go to school for computers because everyone's going to use a computer.
Right.
So to actually do something for a living that you like, love, and you're passionate about, it's, you know, surreal. It's like a dream come true, you know.
It just feels so good to be able to wake up and as cliche as it sounds, to have that purpose, like, today I can't wait to actually sit down and get stressed out by a problem that I have, but I like doing it because once I solve that problem, it's going to get me that much closer to achieving my goal or doing what I want to do in life.
Absolutely.
Now, we've been talking about furniture, reupholstering, refinishing. Can you explain, just really briefly for people who might not know, because I'm definitely one of them, a technique, like, how would you go about reupholstering a sofa?
So first, it's actually not too bad. It's time consuming. So what you want to do is you kind of deconstruct the sofa first, piece by piece. It's helpful to label each piece, that way you don't get mixed up, like left arm or back or,
right,
you know, middle cushion kind of thing. And you lay it out and you get your new front, your new fabric. You cut your new pieces and you sew it together where you need to. You tack it on where you need to. You kind of put it back together. It's like instant gratification, almost, like once you're done and you step back.
You can admire your handiwork.
Like, oh,
I did that.
It looks good. Brand new. It's just nice to, you know, because the pieces have great bones. So to be able to breathe life into something like that.
Right.
You know, it's nice.
And what were the name of the pieces? You said it was like mid-century?
Mid-century modern.
Mid-century modern. Okay. Now, I'm assuming, is that where the cedar and cotton comes from?
The cedar and cotton, it comes from the materials. You know,
okay,
we like the materials. We do like the refinishing, we are sanding the wood, and the wood grain is beautiful,
right,
therapeutic, and the cotton from reupholstering and the pillows and, you know, things like that.
Now, where do you do all this work at? Do you guys have a workshop or is it in one of your houses?
In both of our houses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right now we're in the Sears basement. Sometimes I'll be in my kitchen sanding. So
just wherever you guys can get the work done.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That's pretty cool. I was gonna ask you something else. I can't remember what it was. What were we talking about before?
Like
the techniques.
We talked about the techniques.
Oh yeah. Okay. So when you want to reupholster a sofa, if a client comes to you and they say, "Let's reupholster the sofa," who picks out what the finished product will be? Will the client say, "I want you to reupholster it with this fabric," or do you suggest what you can do and then they say, like, "Oh yeah, let's go with that"?
We'll start with what they want to see happen. If it's something that we think might not be the best idea, just design wise, because of, you know, whatever their needs may be,
right,
then we'll make a recommendation. They're free to make their own decisions,
sure,
but, you know, we'll strongly say, hey, you know, maybe that color won't go long term, or maybe that fabric might not be so durable if you have smaller kids.
What do you mean by the color might not go long term? You mean it'll fade?
Well, like, for example, like if you have a coffee shop and you have white furniture in there,
that might not be the best idea.
Yeah.
Now, with that, you saying that, do you guys keep those things in mind? Like, if this person has a coffee shop, you want to do darker colors, or how does that work? Because has there ever been a point where a client has wanted something and you're just like, no, we can't? Like, that's not a good idea.
No, not where they put up a fight. Like, I know one cafe owner we were speaking to, he, you know, was looking for something. Like, I need something that's darker, something that I can wipe clean, something that, you know, will last, that, you know, won't get too dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't had that.
No big problems yet,
knock on wood.
Now, will cedar and cotton ever, do you guys have any plans to expand to do like commercial stuff? Or actually, does it really work like that? Can reupholstering, and is there a name for that, like, business? Is it just reupholstering or revitalization or something like that?
We refinish, we just restore.
Restoration.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there really a market for like commercial restoration services? Is that a thing?
It is actually. I also go to school now for interior design.
Okay.
And so my professor, she is a huge interior designer. She's had her own business for 15 years now.
Oh, wow.
And she does a lot of historical restoration. So mm-hmm. like for older buildings, she come in there and help restore it back, get the period furniture back in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where are you going to school at?
Catonsville.
So how are you liking school? Did you start this year or last year? Or
when last year.
And
last
you're liking year. It so far?
Love it.
Good.
I love it. It's great.
That's good.
Yeah.
So if people want to learn more about Cedar and Cotton or get in touch with you about a project, where can they find you guys?
We're online. We have our website, cedarandcotton.com. And then we're on Facebook and Instagram. Same name.
Just all Cedar
all
and
Cedar
Cotton?
All Cedar Cotton. Okay. Spelled out.
Cool. Is there anything you wanted to talk about that we haven't already gone over?
I think we touched on everything.
All right, last question. Okay. What's in Cedar and Cotton's future?
We are looking to get a shop. We want to get a storefront. That's like our number one thing. We want to do maybe some workshops and just, you know, see where things go.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Good. Well, Raina, I want to thank you for sitting down with me today. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hey, guys, that was part one of my Cedar and Cotton interview. Thanks for listening. Part two was with her partner, Nasira Latif. Go ahead and check that out at localcolorpod.tk.